From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. As we begin this new year, we invite you to hear Dr. Cairns as he continues a series of studies in the earthly life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, messages that focus on the Savior Himself, as revealed in His teaching and miracles, His atoning death on the cross, and His glorious resurrection. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening.
This morning's text is found in Acts chapter 5 and verse 31. Him hath God exalted. Jesus our Lord, once crucified, dead, and buried, now sits upon the throne of glory. The highest place that heaven affords is His by undisputed right. It is sweet to remember that the exaltation of Christ in heaven is a representative exaltation. He is exalted at the Father's right hand, and though as Jehovah He has eminent glories in which finite creatures cannot share, yet as the Mediator, the honors which Jesus wears in heaven are the heritage of all the saints. It is delightful to reflect how close is Christ's union with His people. We are actually one with Him. We are members of His body, and His exaltation is our exaltation. He will give us to sit upon His throne, even as He has overcome, and is set down with His Father on His throne. He has a crown, and He gives us crowns too. He has a throne, but He is not content with having a throne to Himself. On His right hand there must be His queen, arrayed in gold of Ophir. He cannot be glorified without His bride. Look up, believer, to Jesus now. Let the eye of your faith behold Him with many crowns upon His head. And remember that you will one day be like Him when you shall see Him as He is. You shall not be so great as He is. You shall not be so divine. But still you shall, in a measure, share the same honors and enjoy the same happiness and the same dignity which He possesses. Be content to live unknown for a little while, and to walk your weary way through the fields of poverty or up the hills of affliction. For by and by you shall reign with Christ, for He has made us kings and priests unto God, and we shall reign forever and ever. Oh, wonderful thought for the children of God! We have Christ for our glorious representative in heaven's courts now, and soon He will come and receive us to Himself, to be with Him there, to behold His glory, and to share His joy.
God of mercy, love, and truth in me.
An indispensable part of the Christian life is daily Bible reading. If you're looking for some guidance in the study of God's Word, we're happy to offer a very helpful but brief brochure entitled, 10 Commandments of Bible Study. Prepared by several ministers of the Free Presbyterian Church, including Dr. Alan Cairns, it will help you to gain much blessing from your time in the Scriptures. The method is designed to help believers achieve a comprehensive knowledge of the chapter contents of the Scriptures and to enable them to use that knowledge to guide and quicken them in their personal prayer lives. For a free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish to call us, you may phone 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Increase your knowledge of God's Word by requesting your free copy of 10 Commandments of Bible Study. As Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the life and earthly ministry of Christ, he's bringing a message entitled, Christ and His Sheep. John's Gospel, chapter 10, reveals Christ's view of himself. Here, the Lord Jesus presents himself as the door of the fold, the shepherd of the sheep, and the Son of God. First of all, by portraying himself as the door, Christ was declaring that he alone is the way to God. Then, in relation to the flock, Christ is the good shepherd. As Dr. Cairns will point out, the Old Testament teaches that the Lord Jehovah is the good shepherd, another proof that Christ is indeed God. Christ speaks of his sheep as having been given to him by the Father, a powerful evidence that believers cannot be separated from the Savior. Now here is Dr. Cairns with the next portion of this message, Christ and His Sheep.
In Peter's words in Acts 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We must be saved by Christ, otherwise we'll never be saved at all. We must enter through Christ, otherwise we'll never enter at all. Now I want you to get this picture, and if you're here this morning and you're still in your sins, I want you to see this. There is the sheepfold. It's the place where you're numbered and named among the people of God. It's the place of safety, the place of salvation, the place of life and liberty. It's the place of being right with God. It's the place of the redeemed. There is the door. Now you don't get in by admitting He is the door. You must do that, but if that's all you do, you'll not get in. You don't get in by simply admiring the door. You don't get in by simply discussing the proportions of the door. You may know all about the door and not go in. There is one door. And to be named and numbered among the people of God, you go through that door. And until you do, you can't be saved. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. What a beautiful statement. Now he's got out of the realm of metaphor into the realm of plain speech. Any man, black or white or rich or poor, religious or irreligious, however vile and unclean and disrespected among men, whoever he may be, whatever he may be, however injured he may be by the experiences of life, if any man will enter in by me, if any man will come through me, he will be saved. What a promise. He will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from thieves and robbers. Thank God Christ is real and Christ is true. There's no deceit and there's no violence in Christ. You'll be saved from thieves and robbers. You'll be saved from delusion and false doctrine. You'll be saved from damnable heresies and false religion. Come through Christ, you'll be saved from sin. You'll be saved from death. You'll be saved from hell. You'll be saved. Understand that. What a promise. You know the only people who can't be saved are the only people who won't come through Christ. Jesus said in John 5:40, ye will not come to me that ye might have life. It's not just you're not going to come. You have no will to come. You do not desire to come. You'd rather have the wilderness and the wickedness of the world, but you will not of me. But if any man will enter in, he'll be saved. He'll have perfect liberty. And he'll find pasture. He'll find pasture. What does a sheep need? Needs pasture. What does your soul need? It needs the pasture that only Christ can give it. The human soul can never be satisfied with what the world dishes up any more than the prodigal was able to be satisfied with the husks that the swine did eat. There's only one who can feed the soul, satisfy the soul, bless the soul in life and in death. And that is the mediator of all grace, the Lord Jesus. Now, what have you done with the door this morning? In Sunday school, I don't know if you sing it here. Probably do, knowing that my wife has resurrected many ancient choruses to teach the kids, so maybe this is one she did. But we were little kids, we used to sing, one door and only one, and yet its sides are two. I'm on the inside, on which side are you? Good question. Simple enough for a child to envisage and understand. As long as you keep away from Christ, you cannot be saved. But no matter what the devil tells you to the contrary, you come to God through Jesus Christ, you'll find He is able to save to the very uttermost them that come unto God by Him. So, relation to the fold, He is the door of the sheep. Now, in relation to the flock, and that's what he goes on to discuss next. He says, I am the good shepherd. And again, it's a very familiar figure that the Lord Jesus is using. It's based on many Old Testament references that help us to understand clearly what he was saying about himself when he called himself the shepherd, what he intends us to understand by. We were singing this morning, for example, the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. The Old Testament recognizes this again and again. The true shepherd of the people of God can be none other than Jehovah. Jehovah is my shepherd. The 80th Psalm in the first verse teaches the very same thing. The 95th Psalm teaches the very same thing. This is something that comes up again and again in the Old Testament. The true shepherd is the Lord Jehovah. So when the Lord Jesus says, I am the shepherd, the Jews understood, though they didn't like it, they understood the force of it. Later on, they called him a blasphemer for saying something similar. You're making yourself out to be God. Yes, he was. It's exactly what he was saying. They'd asked the question, whom makest thou thyself? Here's his answer. I am the shepherd. The true shepherd. I am the one of whom the psalmist spoke. This is the claim of Christ, the true deity. Time does not allow me this morning just to revisit some of the scriptures we have looked at in the past, but you'll find in John 5 the Lord Jesus was making that claim very clearly. In John 8, again, he makes that claim very, very clearly. And now again, we noticed it in John 9, and now again in John 10, he's saying, I am truly God. Another truth the Old Testament emphasized was that God promised that he would send Messiah to be the true shepherd. Ezekiel 34 and verse 23, and he calls my servant David. Jesus is saying, I'm the fulfillment of all that. I am the greater Joshua. You remember Moses prayed and God fulfilled it in Joshua in Numbers 27, 16 and 17. Moses prayed, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation which may go out before them, which may go in before them, which may lead them out and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And God's answer to that was Joshua. Now Hebrews 4 tells us Joshua was just a picture of the New Testament Joshua. Joshua is the Hebrew word, Jesus is the Greek one. Same name. Who is the true Joshua? The Lord Jesus says, I am. I'm God's answer ultimately to Moses' prayer. I'm the one to lead them out and bring them in, to protect them and stand guard. I am the good shepherd. Now this is the background. And against this, the Lord Jesus goes on to make these specific statements about himself in relation to his flock. And John gives us here some of these profound statements of Christ. Each one is a Bible study in its own right. First of all, he received his flock as a gift from his Father. Remember we read that down in verse 29, my Father which gave them me is greater than all. Fascinating how the Lord Jesus, as he approached the end of his life, emphasized that truth again and again. In John 17, for example, in his great high priestly prayer, he comes back to it. Thine they were, thou gavest them to me. There is a people. Now, I understand that Arminians don't like this. Well, so be it. I'm not in business to make you happy, unless it's truth that makes you happy. I'm not in business to tickle your ears or tickle your fancy. I'm just here to tell you what the Bible says and tell you when Jesus says it, it's worth everything. And it brings great comfort to the heart. He says, God gave me my sheep. He gave them to me. Here is his insight into the mystery of what is called predestination. We get so torn apart by big theological terms. Jesus says, it's simply this. God gave me a flock, and they're mine. By divine covenant and by divine gift. What a wonderful truth. If you take that truth through John 17, you'll discover it's full of great comfort for the people of God. You see, your certainty of salvation depends primarily not on human action, but divine action. Not on human decision, but divine decree. When you look back to when you came to Christ, in the common phrase of the day, when you decided for Christ, and I'm certainly no enemy of the reality of the decision that a soul makes when it comes to cast itself on Christ. There is a decisive moment of commitment to Christ. But when you look back on that, are you altogether happy with your decision? Are you altogether happy with your faith and your repentance and your action? Not at all. At its greatest height, our faith is riddled with unbelief. At its deepest sincerity, our repentance is riddled with failure and with sin. At its most explicit, our decision is riddled with doubt and indecision. What am I saying? I'm simply saying, when I look at you and I look at me, I have to cry to God and say, I've seen an end of all perfection. No perfection in anything that I do. Bless God, there's total perfection in everything that He does. And I can say with the psalmist that I know that when God does a thing, it's done forever. That's why I say His decree, His covenant, His gift is the basis of all our assurance, all our comfort. Of course, the devil likes to make the simple complex, and he likes to make the plain into something mysterious. And you say to you, but how do you know that he gave you? Man, don't be an idiot now. Don't play the devil's mind games. God never tells me to try and penetrate the counsels of eternal decreeing to find out, did God then give me? No, God tells me to come to Christ. And how do I know that he gave me? I come through the door. And when I come through the door, I know I'm there because God gave me to Christ. You come through the door. And that's the only proof you need that you're among the sheep given to Christ. In great humility, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, accepted the role as our shepherd. We read these words too easily. I am the good shepherd. You know, the shepherd was not a high-flying member of society. The shepherd had a very lowly state. So lowly, indeed, you'll remember well the words of Genesis 46 and 34, that every shepherd is an abomination unto the Egyptians. The Egyptians wouldn't act as shepherds. Why? Because they were so mean, so lowly. Yet it was this lowly, difficult, dangerous, lonely office that the Lord Jesus undertook for us. He said, I have become the shepherd. And as the shepherd, verse 11 and 17, he purchased us, his flock, with his own life. I am the good shepherd. that giveth his life for the sheep. I lay down my life, and I'm laying it down for the sheep that I might take it again. Here's the shepherd. Greater love hath no man than this, than the laying down of his life for his friends. As Paul said to the Ephesians, Christ loved his church, and he gave himself for it. As he wrote to Titus in chapter 2 and verse 14, he gave himself for us that he might purchase unto himself, redeem us unto himself as a peculiar people and zealous of good works. In heaven, the people of God are making the vaults of glory ring with their song, Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We are here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.